Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you once again.
Thank you.
And continuing an interesting discussion about tax law and how it affects estate planning, the difference between federal changes, Washington state changes, if there are any, and there are some concerns here. We started this series a couple shows back, and you want to bring a refresher, first of all, about what's happening with taxes.
Yeah, there's looming issues in the federal estate tax. Now, the good news is that this does not influence a high majority of individuals. It only influences those who have been very blessed and have been able to have more of an estate. So what's happening in the current environment is that there is a current law on the federal estate tax level. So this has nothing to do with income tax, nothing to do with how much you make every month and you pay taxes on an annual basis, nothing to do with that. This is if someone passes away, if someone dies, we take a look at their entire estate. We add everything up. We look at your home. We look at your investments. We look at your cash. We look at life insurance policies. That's one of the things that is often missed. So we look at anything that has value in your life, in your stuff, right? Your vehicles, boats, and everything else. So we take a value of everything, and we say, how much did someone pass away with? How much does somebody die with? Now, if you're married, we take half of that, because in community property states, you're entitled to half. So if someone has $10 million, well, half of that would be five if one spouse dies. So now we're only going to look at $5 million, not the full estate of 10, because they're leaving a surviving spouse behind. So when we deal with estate taxes, we have to value everything and take a quick picture of what does that person's estate net value. So it's a net value. And we may or may not need to file one of two different returns. Number one is a federal estate tax return. Number two is a Washington state estate tax return. So Washington, in their brilliance, is the only community property state with an estate tax. Mm-hmm. So we have the wonderful distinction of being the only community property state with that.
Really?
So Now, what are the limits? Currently, on a federal level, each person has an exemption power of $14 million. It's just under that. But what does exemption power mean? It means the first approximately $14 million is exempt from taxes. We like money that's exempt from taxes. And so that's a really high bar.
Yeah.
That means if you're married, you can double that. It ends up being around 27 just because I overestimated how much it is with 14. So therefore, we have a very, very high amount. As a matter of fact, it has never in the history of federal estate taxation been so high as it is right now. Mm. Now, that law that raised the limits, raised the exemption power, is going to expire on December 31st, 2025. So I am in the summer of 2024, which means that we have less than 18 months of that law now expiring. What does it mean for that law to expire? It means that we're going to revert backwards to the previous law. So it is artificially inflated right now. And we're going to remove that artificial inflation number, and it's just going to return back to the quote-unquote normal amount that is on the books. So we have a foundational law on the federal level. There is a artificial inflation law that gives us a high exemption. That is going to go away, and it's just going to go back to the standard or foundational number. That number, we don't exactly know what it means yet. Until we get next year's inflation numbers, we won't be able to fully calculate it. But what we believe as an estate planning community is that it's going to be approximately half of what it is now. So that's going to land someplace between $6.5 and $7 million. So the federal exemption is going to go from $14 million, or just under that, down to about $6.5 to $7 million. So half as much.
Yeah.
That means that each spouse, if you're married, we get double that. So let's say the higher number is the number we're going to get. And you're at $14 million is what a married couple will be able to exempt from federal estate taxes. And if they have more than that combined, then a tax will start. So that's where we are in the current legal environment for federal estate taxes. So federal estate taxes, there is a change. We're removing the artificial inflationary numbers. We're going to come back down to what is quote unquote normal. We anticipate between $6.5 and $7 million per person. So if you are a single individual and you have a business, if you have own properties, if you've done well, if you had that wonderful stock that exploded, just whatever the scenario is, you've inherited money and it wasn't kept in trust, it was put into your own name, and you are anywhere near that $6 million mark, well, you're going to be having a federal estate tax problem.
And what's that tax rate?
Oh, that it's federal like 40, tax is wonderful.
40%, something like
it
that?
It is currently 40%. When it reverts back to the foundational number, it'll be 45%.
So about half.
And now if you add in the Washington State tax, it is well over 55%. So you will lose more than half of what you currently have. Or if you're a married couple, someplace between $13 and $14 million. So you got to look at what you have in a net estate, and you're going to lose more than half of anything that is over that number. Unless you do nothing, if you do no estate planning, then specifically as a married couple, boy, you could even be in a worse position, because you may not be utilizing both exemption powers. And if you don't do any planning, if you just leave everything to your spouse and one of you dies, then you wasted one of the exemption powers. So what that means is that if I transfer everything to my wife, well, she has everything and I didn't keep or hold my power to have exempt money. Mm. Well, that would be silly. So why would we forfeit the opportunity to exempt money from taxes? Well, we forfeit that because we choose not to do planning because we're too busy. Business owners, you got to deal with this stuff. I know. I'm a business owner. I'm very busy. And it seems like my business takes over my life more often than what I want it to. But we've got to stop and do things that are right for our family, make sure that we're protecting what we've built and what God has blessed in our hands. Mm. This is a part of that blessing, ensuring that we are being responsible and good stewards. Why waste tax money? I mean, why expose your wealth to taxes that are unnecessary? So we need to really take this portion of what we've been given and take it seriously. We really got to look at this. And I can't help you unless you head over to our website, until you give us a call, until you do something that allows us to sit down, review what you've got. I'll review what you have. So even if you already say, well, Paul, this is all fine and dandy, but I just did my estate plan. I'm golden. I'm ready. Okay, maybe. I don't know. Why not let me take a quick look at it? The only way that you know that it is properly done is if we have it reviewed. And so come on in and let's get it reviewed. And then I can either poke holes in it to show you where the bubble gum is not working in those holes, right? Mm-hmm. Or I can confirm this is good. Whoever helped you did a really good job.
So people even in this income bracket who are going to be facing these federal taxes, even those people don't have estate planning good, like half of them? I mean, you said the general public's about half.
Absolutely.
So people who have that kind of
income. It's astounding.
Don't have a plan.
Yeah, so figures will show that they do a little bit better, but still 60% do, but 40% of individuals who have $10 million or more still have not done any estate planning.
Hmm.
It's it's catastrophic. It's really unfathomable that you've worked that hard or you've been able to manage that type of money and preserve it and protect it, but you won't take the final steps to do ultimate preservation for the whole family. It, in part of my brain, that doesn't make sense to me, but yes, it's absolutely out there all the time. The people buy buildings and all of a sudden they bought it for $500,000 and now it's worth $8 million and they just don't think that that's a big deal. They'll, you know, just pass to the kids. Well, pass to the kids with a lot of tax. And so we need to preserve what God has blessed us with. We need to preserve what he's put into our hands and be good stewards and make sure that, number one, who doesn't want a good smooth transition in an estate plan? That would be critical. So forget taxes, but don't you want a nice smooth transition so that your kids don't have to mess to clean up? And then, yes, we got to deal with this issue of taxes. This show happens to be about taxes. It's not that every plan has to be tax-centric. As a matter of fact, I don't like to be tax-centric in estate planning. I want to be family-centric. I want to look at the family. What is your passion? What is your desire? How do you want to pass wealth? How do you want your children to utilize wealth for generations if that's what you've been blessed with? Well, that's what I love to dig into. Then from there, you're going to trust me to make sure that I'm going to give the proper tax recommendations. I'm going to pull all the stops out and I'm going to put the tax language around the entire estate plan to leverage everything that we can leverage in the estate tax realm. So most of the time, clients don't walk in saying, I've got a tax issue, you got to resolve it. Most of the time, they just know they need to do estate planning. Most of the time, they come in going, I have a problem child. I have children who don't know how to manage money. If this fell in my kids' hands, they wouldn't know what to do. I've got spouses. You know, it's oftentimes in a marriage, one spouse does the finances and the other does not. Well, doesn't mean that the other spouse could have never done it. It just means that's the way that the marriage has been working. And so oftentimes I find that a surviving spouse, if we lose the spouse who does all the finances, then the surviving spouse is really in a place of extreme stress. So they've already lost a spouse. Now they got to deal with everything that they've never dealt with before. And it can be very complicated. It can be extremely overwhelming. Why not put a really fantastic plan in place for your spouse just to start with?
Yeah.
Let alone your kids, let alone deal with taxes, let alone deal with generational wealth, let alone, and the list goes on and on and on. So we need to do this thing called estate planning because there's too much at stake. There's too much going on in our lives, whether you have a tax problem or whether you don't, there's too much at stake to be good stewards over what has been placed into our hands. It's really time. It's time to head over to legacyandfaith.com. We have got past podcasts. We've got upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. You can reach out to our firm. But the time is now. We need to do estate planning. So let's do this thing.
It's called Planning with Purpose. That is Paul's company. And again, legacyandfaith.com for more details about how he can help you. We will continue this conversation here in just a few moments.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, we're looking at estate taxes, some changes there. on the federal level, and I want to zero in back on the Washington part of estate taxes. And Paul, fortunately, not a lot of changes here, but again,
right.
The change people need to make is, do you have a plan?
Right.
And make sure you have one.
Yeah, for sure. Washington State has held its exemption amount at a steady level. Now, it's supposed to be on an inflationary schedule, but it is currently on hold. It's because of a definition that they used inside the estate tax law, and they have simply not updated that definition. So for Washington State, the exemption is $2,193,000, so just a little over $2 million. So what does that mean then for maybe someone who is quote unquote more average, because I started the whole show talking with $10 million.
Yeah, a lot of people
15,
aren't in that
$20 million, right? And so even with the federal estate tax coming down, you're still going to have to be around $13 million before that is going to influence you. And so that is a small percentage of the population, which means that others who are listening to this show may go, okay, well, I'm not in that. And so why do I need to worry about taxes, Paul? Well, because you live in Washington and we have a $2 million exemption. So therefore, if I'm married and I die and I just leave everything to my spouse and I have right at $2 million or more than $2 million, then again, I wasted my exemption when I die first because I just handed it to my wife. I didn't do planning. I didn't do proper estate work. And so therefore, when she passes away, if she holds everything, and what if she lives for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years because if spouses are close in age and a long-term first marriage, you're in your 80s, or older, then statistically, the surviving spouse will die within 2 or 3 years. But when someone dies and they are in their 60s or 70s, that surviving spouse, regardless of first marriage or not, they'll live for 15 or 20 years statistically. So over the course of that time, even if they have some health issues, there is a high probability that the value in their hands will continue to increase when it's reasonably invested in the market. And so the market, even on conservative, you should double your money about every 7 to 12 years. Excuse me. 10 to 12 years, 7% is what my brain all of a sudden kicked out. So that was a wrong number. So between 10 and 12 years, a natural market will double your money. So if the surviving spouse, you say, well, we're at 1.5, Paul, and you know, we're really not close to that 2 million. You're too close to that 2 million. You're way too close to that because one of you dies and the surviving spouse lives for 10 years, they're going to have closer to 2.5 to 3 million, even if they have some health incidences. So the only time that that really changes is if the income coming to the estate is not as much. So in other words, there's not a lot of income. You built wealth and you preserved it, but you don't have a lot of income per month when you retire. So if the income is very low, and together with there is a long-term illness, specifically something like memory care, which is going to cost $10,000 to $12,000 a month to be cared for in an outside facility. So when that combination hits, then there is a probability that the estate may wear down instead of take that double approach. Mm. But in most cases, assets increase in the hands of the survivor. Mm. So you may look at your current net worth and go, well, we're not at that level. We're going to be fine. No, you can't anticipate that. The numbers actually prove you wrong. And that's why we need to stop. We need to look at what you do have. We need to look at your current estate plan. And we need to say, what is in your best interest long term? So estate planning is about projecting what you will have, not just relying upon what you do have today. And if you're already at that $2 million number, and it doesn't take much to get there anymore. It used to be like when I was growing up, if someone was a millionaire, you go, whoa, that's crazy. And it's just like, well, that's almost like everybody in the Pacific Northwest right now.
If you own a house,
Yeah, and so it doesn't take much any longer to creep over into actually having an estate that is creeping into that Washington state estate tax. And so therefore, most individuals who live in the Pacific Northwest need to do this type of planning to ensure that they're not going to have an unnecessary tax. Wouldn't it be a bummer if I died at a younger age and I left my wife blank many dollars and she lived for another 20 years. And then when she died, because she and I did not do proper estate planning and she's conservative financially, that all of a sudden that exploded in her hands and it ended up being exposed to an estate tax when she passed away. What? It's just wasted money. Why not keep that for your family? Why not do proper estate planning? Make sure that we get to the right result to protect what has been placed into your hands so that the people that you love and care about can use that money. I actually really do love the state that we live in. I'm not overly fond of its political environment sometimes, but I love this state. And so regardless of that, I don't want to give it more tax money. I want that to go to my girls. I want to make sure that I protect my wife. And so we need to talk about, well, good estate planning should preserve an estate to get to the people that you really want it to get to. Yeah. So that's the goal.
Okay, well then how do we get to that level? How do we get to that preservation?
Yeah, and so proper estate planning is the term I've used here quite a bit. And for most individuals that I meet, we need to use what's called a revocable living trust. We got to have a proper trust in place. And I mentioned it before break, which is, well, you have already have a trust, but is that updated? Has it been updated? Have you had someone look at that with fresh eyes to make sure that it is accomplishing what it's supposed to be accomplishing? I just mentioned the federal law is changing. So therefore, if there is a huge change in federal law, do you think that it's a really good time to have your estate plan reviewed to make sure that what you have in your hands is actually going to still match the changing environment? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And so this is a perfect time to get back into an attorney office and make sure that the plan that was created is actually going to do what it is supposed to do. And so I really caution people to rest or rely upon a document that was done. Even if it was more recently done, it still needs to be looked at. It still needs to be reviewed. How often? I would suggest every 3 years or so. As a matter of fact, in my system, in my relationship process, because I'm a unique law firm. I don't just create a document, wish you luck, and then say, call me if you need me. Actually, I invite people into a long-term continuous relationship with the firm. And what do we do? Well, that's my job. I'm reviewing trusts. I'm reviewing what is in my client's plan to ensure that anything that is happening in the legal front, in the tax front, anything that's been adjusted is actually in their plan properly. I'm during the summer is when I actually do most of those reviews. So literally yesterday, I reviewed 8 different plans for clients who are going to be coming in this summer to review and look at their trust. And you know what? There's plenty of things that need to be adjusted. And I just did that 3 years ago for them. So there's always things that need to be reviewed. There's always things that need to be looked at from an attorney, from a legal and tax perspective. And so that these clients may have not had much change on the family front. And so then that's the other false sense of security is, well, I didn't have many changes. So do I still need to come into your office, Paul? I get that quite a bit. Well, it's minimizing what I'm doing. And the answer is yes. I mean, the amount of changes that I incorporate in a 3-year period, so I do a review every 3 years with clients. In that 3 years, there are numerous, numerous changes. And so the answer is always, absolutely.
Can you review somebody else's prepared trust if it was prepared by somebody else?
Yes. And I would want to do that because I can either, like I said, I can either poke holes in it to say, well, you know, this is why I would do something different, or I can confirm this is really well done and there's really not much that I would want to touch on this. And so absolutely, we can always take a look. And as a matter of fact, how else would you get the confidence that your estate plan is actually doing well?
Right.
And the answer is in the world of law, the only way that you can kind of the litmus test of saying that person did a good job is to take it to another attorney. So yes. Minimally every 3 years, I would want to review what a client has. I would encourage you, even if you've just done it, that you allow us to take a look at it. And most plans I see are 10 plus years old. So if that's your case, there has been way, way too much that has changed. We definitely need that to reviewed. We definitely got to get that updated. So we got to get a trust around you that protects taxes. It protects other family values. But we got to get a look at what you have now and make adjustments.
Okay, you've been listening today. You like the way Paul thinks about these subjects and you want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.